Day 454, Friday, June 28. Hosea 8 and 9. Hosea 8, 1-14. NKJV, set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good, the enemy will pursue him. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long until they attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this, a workman made it, and it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. They sow the wind, and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the Gentiles like a vessel in which is no pleasure. For they have gone up to Assyria, like a wild donkey alone by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers. Yes, though they have hired among the nations, now I will gather them, and they shall sorrow a little, because of the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. For the sacrifices of my offerings they sacrifice flesh and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker, and has built temples. Judah also has multiplied fortified cities, but I will send fire upon his cities, and it shall devour his palaces. Hosea 9, 1-17 NKJV. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor. The threshing floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, nor shall their sacrifices be pleasing to him. It shall be like bread of mourners to them. All who eat it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their own life. It shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the appointed day, and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For indeed they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their valuables of silver, thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come, the days of recompense have come. Israel knows, the prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is insane, because of the greatness of your iniquity and great enmity. The watchman of Ephraim is with my God, but the prophet is a fowler's snare in all his ways, enmity in the house of his God. They are deeply corrupted, as in the days of Jibbi. He will remember their iniquity, he will punish their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season. But they went to Baal Peor, and separated themselves to that shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them to the last man. Yes, woe to them when I depart from them. Just as I saw Ephraim like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place, so Ephraim will bring out his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. Because of the evil of their deeds I will drive them from my house, I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious. Ephraim is stricken, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yes, were they to bear children, I would kill the darlings of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG Reading Plan states, here again we see the root cause of Israel's problems, their broken covenant with God. Verse 1. This is a serious matter, and Hosea must proclaim the warning as if with a trumpet, Hebrew shofar, ram's horn, an analogy of sounding an alarm familiar to readers of Bible prophecy. Isaiah 58, 1, Jeremiah 6, 17, Ezekiel 33, 3, 6, Joel 2, 1, Joel 2, 15, Amos 3, 6, Zephaniah 1, 16, Zechariah 9, 14, Matthew 24, 31, 1 Corinthians 15, 52, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Continued disobedience has removed Israel farther and farther away from God, to a point where, Hosea says, Israel has forgotten his maker, Hosea 8, 14, which, in turn, has led to even greater disobedience. As in other verses, the eagle of verse 1 is most likely a reference here to Assyrian invasion. Just as an eagle swiftly swoops down and snatches its prey, so Assyria would invade Israel and take its people into captivity. Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 1. And as a bird of prey rends and tears its prey, so would Assyria deal with Israel. Israel setting up kings against God's will does not refer to the monarchy in general. Rather, this phrase alludes to the political turmoil surrounding the throne of the northern kingdom during the 8th century BC, when, as referred to earlier, four kings were assassinated during a 20-year period, Hosea 7, 4-7, Hosea 8, 4. Since so much of Hosea's prophecies apply in some degree to the end time, perhaps there will be similar assassinations and coups in the future. How strange this concept seems in the context of modern Israel's stable democracies, but much will change between now and the prophesied crisis at the close of this age. The expression "your calf is rejected," verse 5, literally means, in the original Hebrew, "your calf stinks." Here again the golden calves of Bethel and Dan, which were so odious to God, are in view. The rhetorical question at the close of the verse implies that there would never be a time when the idolatry of Israel would not be sinful. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on verse 5. In this sense, the calves are metaphorical for Israel's continuing idolatry in general. It's worth noting that the same Hebrew word is used for rejected in verse 3. In this case, the implication is that Israel thinks that God's way stinks. Israel has sown nothing but wind, verse 7, representing, as it does in Ecclesiastes, vanity and emptiness. Morally speaking, Israel had planted wind, symbolizing its moral bankruptcy, and would reap a whirlwind, symbolizing the coming judgment. Nelson, note on verse 7, wind is one of the most powerful forces of nature. It is no surprise, then, that the O.L.D.T. Estimate uses the imagery of a powerful windstorm to picture calamity and irresistible divine judgment. Whirlwind, Dictionary of Bible Imagery, page 943. The whirlwind mentioned here refers to a high wind such as a tornado. Other Bible passages also refer to the whirlwind as one of God's methods of judgment against evil. Jeremiah 23:19, Jeremiah 30 hours and 23 minutes, Ezekiel 13:11, 13, Amos 1:14, Zechariah 7:14, Proverbs 10:25, Job 21:18. Israel cannot win against God's wrath. The crop will be so damaged that it cannot produce grain, and what little it might produce will be consumed by foreign powers. The warning is just as much for today as for the time of Hosea. No matter how great and powerful the nations of modern-day Israel have been, they will be swallowed up. Even going to other nations such as Assyria for help, going to Europe for help in our time, will not ultimately profit. Indeed, hiring lovers, or allies, will backfire, bringing Israel under the increasing yoke of the king of princes. Hosea 8, 9-10, that is, the Assyrian emperor. The Assyrian emperor of the end time, who seems to be the primary reference here, will apparently be a dictator over a united Europe. In the book of Revelation he is called the beast. Israel's altars for sin, where sins are supposed to be atoned for through sacrifices, have become altars for sinning. Verse 11. Religion itself, instead of being a means of worship and seeking God, becomes a means of sin, rejected by God. God's law is spurned by the Israelites as strange, unfamiliar and unwelcome. Verse 12. He had given specific instructions about how he was to be worshipped, but Jeroboam had set up his own altars in Bethel and Dan. Likewise, the nations of modern-day Israel have followed false Christianity's numerous changes of God's method of worship, replacing his commanded worship on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Exodus 20, 8-11, with worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, and replacing God's holy days, Leviticus 23, with ancient, pre-Christian pagan festivals such as Easter and Christmas. In its entry on Easter, Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words states, Pascha, mistranslated Easter in Acts 12, 4, KJV, denotes the Passover. RV, the term Easter is not of Christian origin. It is another form of Astarte, one of the titles of the Chaldean goddess, the Queen of Heaven. From this Pasch, the pagan festival of Easter was quite distinct and was introduced into the apostate Western religion, as part of the attempt to adapt pagan festivals to Christianity. New Testament section. And all this despite God's clear instruction that we not incorporate pagan worship practices into our worship of Him, Deuteronomy 12, 2932, because Israel's worship places, considered places for seeking divine forgiveness, are actually places where teachings and practices contrary to God are promoted and participated in. God will not forgive and forget the Israelites' sins through them. Instead, he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Hosea 8:13. God is so unhappy with Israel as to send the Israelites back into the captivity they came out of when they left Egypt. We should realize that what God desires of people is all for our own good. He's unhappy with the Israelites harming themselves and knows in his wisdom that the extreme measure of captivity is necessary to bring them to repentance. While verse 13 seems to say that Israel will actually go to Egypt, Hosea 9:3 makes it clear that Egypt is being used metaphorically of exile and slavery, and that the actual location of captivity will be Assyria. Parallel with Amos' warning of captivity beyond Damascus, Amos 5:27. However, as explained in tomorrow's highlights, a number of Israelites will apparently end up in Egypt as well. While certainly a warning of ancient invasion and deportation, this is also a warning of calamity that is yet future. Indeed, the warning of coming fire on the cities of Israel and Judah that will devour palaces was also directly given, practically word for word, by Amos as a reference to, primarily, end time destruction, Amos 1:4, 7, 10, 12, 14, 2, 2, 5. Days of punishment and recompense. Hosea 9 continues with God's warning of impending punishment. This is not a time of celebration. God's warning is too serious. This was spiritual idolatry. The mention of threshing floors probably carries through the figure of prostitution, for the Canaanites frequently used threshing floors and winepresses, because of their association with the harvest, as places for carrying out their fertility rites. In V2, the implication is that, because of insufficient rainfall, the threshing floors and winepresses would fail to produce enough food for the people. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on verses 1-2, for their sin, the Israelites would be evicted from the land in which God had permitted them to dwell, and they would be left to suffer in Assyria. Verse 3, they would be deprived of any freedoms and their uncleanness there would render them unfit to participate in true worship. Indeed, where they were going, they wouldn't be able to sacrifice to God or keep his holy days, even if they wanted to. In verse 6, Egypt is again used symbolically of captivity, and the statement that Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt famed as a necropolis of cemeteries and tombs, would bury the Israelites signifies that they would die in captivity. Indeed, as we earlier read in Amos 5:3, only 1/10 of those taken into captivity would ultimately survive. Yet it should also be noted that, in the end time, many Israelites will apparently end up in literal Egypt and other Arab nations through the coming slave trade prophesied in the Bible. Compare Revelation 18:11-13, comma, as Israel's captives are ultimately seen returning from Assyria and Egypt in a great second exodus, Isaiah 11:11-12, Hosea 11:11. Consider also that since the forces of the end-time Assyrian ruler, apparently the European dictator called the King of the North in Daniel 11:40, are prophesied to invade and take over Egypt and surrounding territories, verses 42-43, they will undoubtedly set up military posts in these lands to which Israelite captives may be shipped to serve as laborers. So perhaps some latter-day Israelites truly will die in Memphis, which is in the vicinity of modern Cairo. Behind them, the Israelites' homeland is left rather desolate, the fine estates or villas which they had purchased by their money, being now neglected and uninhabited, are covered with nettles, and even in their tabernacles, thorns and brambles of different kinds grow. Adam Clark's commentary, note on Hosea 9:6, raising a trumpet of warning again, Hosea announces, the days of punishment have come, the days of recompense have come. Verse 7, while the days of Israel's ancient captivity fulfilled this in part, the message is mainly for the end time. Speaking of the coming great tribulation, Jesus Christ stated, for these are the days of vengeance, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. Luke 21 verses 22-24. But Israel will not accept this message. Indeed, God's servants, who proclaim such warnings, are viewed by sinful Israel as raving lunatics. Hosea 9, 7. The Israelites have become utterly corrupt, as in the days of Gibeah. Verse 9. The reference here is to the rape and murder of a young woman by the men of Gibeah, an event that started a civil war. See Judges 19. Those who witnessed this violent deed remarked that it was the worst crime committed in Israel's history until that time. See Judges 19:30. However, the sins of Hosea's generation rivaled the infamous Gibeah murder. Nelson Study Bible, note on Hosea 9, 9, as do the sins of the generation on which God's stern correction of the end time will come. When Israel was a young nation, They were unusually delightful to God, like grapes in the desert. Verse 10. But the delight didn't last long. Even before they entered the promised land, they were participating in Baal worship at Peor in Moab with its insidious fertility rites. Now, Israel had returned to such vile promotion of fertility through its return to Baal worship. As punishment, God would take away fertility, causing the population to dwindle through barrenness of womb, and the children that were born would be killed in the coming invasion. Verses 11-14. The Jewish Tanakh translates the first part of verse 15 as, all their misfortunes began at Gilgal, for there I disowned them. Gilgal was the place from which Israel had conquered Canaan, Joshua 4:19-5:12, and where the monarchy was later instituted, 1 Samuel 11:15. Yet it had now become a center of false worship, Hosea 4:15, Hosea 12:11, Amos 4:4, Amos 5:4-5. It also served as a resort area for the wealthy who oppressed the poor in Israel, as a center noted for its false religion and social oppression. Gilgal probably serves here as a metaphor for the nation. Bible Reader's Companion. Note on Hosea 9:15. The language of verse 15, it should be noted, implies divorce. The Lord would reject, hate, his unfaithful wife. See Deuteronomy 22:13, Deuteronomy 24:3. Drive her from his house, the land, and remove his protective care, love, from her. Nelson. Note on verse 15. The final verse of chapter 9 summarizes Israel's situation. They have consistently failed to listen to God's warnings. Now they will wander among the nations, and